Good morning, everyone. A warm word of welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to see each and every one that's gathered in. We welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us as we're found in his house to worship the Lord once again this morning. Let me just go through the announcements as briefly as I can. I do remind you of the evening service at 7 p.m., preceded by the time of prayer at 6:30. We invite and encourage each one to come again this evening, and even to come to the place of prayer as well. It's encouraging to see the numbers that are gathering in the upper room. And it's a growing number, and we're thankful for that. But there's room for more. We encourage you to come and spend that time in prayer before the services. As we continue in the book of Acts this evening at 7 p.m., we come and we want to consider the verses as Paul eventually makes it to the city of Rome. And we've simply entitled the message tonight, Rome at Last. And so we encourage you to come back again and come and worship the Lord in his house. The children's meeting continues on Monday evening at 7 p.m. And of course, we lay that work before you that the Lord would bless it and the Lord would even give the increase there. Wednesday evening is a deputation meeting on behalf of the Reverend Ray Kirschgadden. Our brother will be over here at 8 p.m. To bring us the report of how the Lord has led him to the land of Uganda. And we do invite and encourage all, young and old alike, to come to that deputation meeting on Wednesday evening. And of course, remember the offering afterwards to go in support of our brother and his family as they seek to go to the land of Uganda later on this year. Friday evening, the youth fellowship's back on at 8 p.m. And young people, we invite and encourage you to come aside on Friday evening and have that time of fellowship one with the other. The service is next Sunday, the Sabbath school in the morning, 10:30. The morning worship at 11:30, and I'll be here to speak at that service. And then next Sunday evening is a special testimony meeting with our brother Brendan O'Hagan from our Randallstown congregation. Our brother was brought up in a Roman Catholic home, but the Lord wondrously saved him. And he'll be along to give his testimony next Sunday night at 7 p.m. We invite and encourage you. Let me encourage you to encourage others to come and to hear our brother's testimony of how the Lord took that dealing in his life, and make it known as far and as wide as you can. Share it whenever the advert goes up, and of course let your neighbours and your friends know. It'd be lovely to see visitors coming in and having that time in the house of the Lord even next Sunday evening. There's also the retiring offering for the building fund will be next Sunday, being the second Sunday of the month. The other special date in the month of February is on Friday the 24th of February, our church dinner. It's hard to believe the last one was 2020, but we're looking forward to the time of fellowship once again. It was always a lovely time together as a congregation, and we do invite and encourage each one, if you can come on that Friday the 24th, over to Sally's in Auchnacloy again, and we're arranged with the restaurant. We're hoping to arrive between 7 and 7:15. And then the serving will begin, God willing, at 7:30. There are lists in the front porch. It's a three-course meal. There are choices, again, of starter, choices of main, and choices of dessert. The price is £28 for the three courses. And as has been done on previous occasions, those that are either too young to work or too old to work, we'll put it that way, the church covers the cost for those individuals. And therefore, if you're at the working age, then, well, you'll have to pay. But it is a special time of fellowship. It's lovely whenever the church can come together to have those times of fellowship. And if you can be part of that evening, be there, then we certainly encourage you. Each one, everyone is invited to come along that night. As I said, the lists are in the front porch. If you put your name and just tick in the boxes that of the different meals that you desire. And if you have any other dietary requirements, if you just write beside your name, just to make that known to us, and we'll pass that on to the restaurant. Again, we mentioned to you all of the donations that were left in. The first load has gone to Let the Bible Speak shop. We mentioned this on Wednesday evening. And the shop do thank you sincerely, and we do thank each one for their giving. There is another load to go. If you haven't quite finished up yet, then do mention to our brother Ronnie and square it with him in terms of meeting with him or passing it over to him. Our brother Ronnie and his wife Hazel have very kindly taken the stuff up to the shops, and there's another load to go, as I say. If you have any more to go, then please do mention to them, and they'll keep that space in the car for your donations. We're going to now commence our worship. We're turning to the Psalm number 1. The Psalm number 1, the page 5 of the hymn book. That man hath perfect blessedness, who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way. There is a new update as well from Fame, a little brochure in the front porch. If you'd like a copy, do take them with you as you leave, please. The Psalm number 1. Let's still ourselves in God's presence. Unite together around the throne of grace this morning. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow humbly and reverently in thy presence. We come pleading the name of Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son. We thank thee this morning that his name was Jesus. We thank thee, O God, that he is the one in whom thou art well pleased. He is the one who went to the cross and who died for our sins, the just for the unjust, that we might be reconciled to God. And, O Father in heaven, we bow before thee and we thank thee this day for salvation. We thank thee this day for a Savior, one who is alive, one who is alive forevermore. We rejoice in the finished work of Christ. We rejoice in the ascension, even in the glory. And that work even now that he continues in intercession and in prayers for us. We thank thee, O God, this day that he is ever mindful of us. We thank and praise thee this day that each and every one that is saved will never be forgotten or cast to the side. Will never be forsaken or left behind in any way. O Father, we rejoice this day that we have peace with thee. We've been adopted into the family of God. We have that joy in our hearts that it is well. It is well with our souls. Oh, Father, we think of those words that we've just been singing, the contrast even between the saved and the unsaved. And, oh, Father, we acknowledge this day that there are so many that are out of Christ. And, Father, we pray that thou wilt have mercy. We pray, oh, God, in our land that thou wilt draw near, that thou wilt give that grace, that saving grace unto many, that thou wilt call many from darkness unto light, that thou wilt do a great and a wonderful work. Oh, Father, we bow before Thee this day. We thank Thee for the return of Thy day. We thank Thee for the opportunity once again to be in Thy house. Lord, we're thankful for each and every blessing that Thou hast given to us, both in the week past and already today, Lord, and ordering our footsteps and just giving us that health and strength and the traveling mercies to be here. We rejoice, O God, that Thou hast been faithful. Lord, we thank Thee and praise Thee that Thou hast been near to us. Thou hast blessed and given that help. Lord, at the outset of another week, we simply place ourselves in Thy hands. We pray that Thou wilt go before us. Thou already knowest the end from the beginning. And, O Father, that Thou wilt give us that help, that grace that is sufficient every day for whatever need there may be that will arise this week, for whatever challenge or trial that will come our way. O God, we thank Thee that Thou dost know all about it, and Thou wilt be with Thy people. O Lord, bless us, we pray Thee. Lord, bless the work of this church in its entirety. Lord, we're thankful for the children that were in this morning and for the word that was brought to them. Bless it and write it upon their hearts. We think of the work even in the incoming week. We think of the children's meeting tomorrow night. We think, O God, of the youth on Friday night, of the deputation on Wednesday. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt bless each and every part of the week to come, that Thou wilt bless every effort that this church and this congregation makes. And, O Father, that Thou wilt see a great and wonderful work, and that Thou wilt oversee it, O God. We thank and praise Thee that we're bowing before the sole king and head of the church today. We're not looking to a mere man for help. Lord, we're looking unto the hills. From whence cometh our help? Our help cometh from the Lord, which hath made the heaven and the earth. O God, we pray that Thou wilt be our help and our surety even in the week to come. That Thou wilt presence Thyself with each one of Thy people. That as they go about their daily business, that they will know the Lord's hand upon them. That they will know the Lord's presence with them. And Father, that Thou wilt be very near and very precious unto us. Remember, O God, each one, remember every family. Lord, remember every need of every family. Remember the physical need that there may be. Remember, O God, the spiritual need in homes. We think of households and family circles still with that circle broken today, O God. That Thou wilt have mercy upon children. That Thou wilt have mercy upon loved ones. That Thou wilt draw them unto Thyself. Lord, hear and answer our prayers. Lord, be near to us and bless the meeting this morning, we pray Thee. Bless as we sing. Bless as we read Thy word. Bless in the preaching, O God, we ask Thee that Thou wilt speak to our hearts today. That Thou wilt minister to us. That we will leave here knowing that God has spoken. That God has brought a word to our hearts. O Father, bless each one. Lord, undertake for those that listen online, whether it be live or whether at a later time, O God, challenge them, work in their hearts. Bless them. Save, O God, those that need to be saved. And Lord, do a great and a wonderful work. Remember all of our churches. Lord, remember the faithful witness right across this land and right across the mainland. Remember missionary stations today, O God, as well. Father, we pray for the going forth of the gospel. We pray that souls will be saved. We pray that the church of Christ will be built up. And the name of Jesus will be elevated and lifted high above all. Bless us, we pray Thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. 311, the hymn 311, the page is 302. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation and purchase of God, born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. 311 will stand after the introduction, please. Stop. We read together from the book of Proverbs in the chapter 10. Over the remainder now of the book, they're simply the Proverbs of Solomon, as verse 1 tells us. Maybe it will be the case that as you go through it, you'll recognize some of the sayings over the chapters to come. Maybe you never knew where they came from. And so we encourage you as we go through these chapters to pay attention to the reading, and may even the Lord's word bless our hearts. Proverbs 10, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivereth from death. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent maketh rich. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known. He that winketh with the eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. The mouth of a righteous man is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. In the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found, but a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning. As our offering hymn, we're going to sing together the hymn 390. The hymn 390, the page is 334. Dear Savior, thou art mine. How sweet the thought to me. Let me repeat thy name and lift my heart to thee. Let's remain seated as the tithes and offerings are lifted, please. Let's stand and sing unto the Lord. Verses 3 and 4, please. Two verses from Song of Solomon chapter 1 we want to read this morning. Song of Solomon in the chapter 1. The verses 7 and 8 we want to consider this morning together. Song of Solomon 1, verse 7. It is the bride that is speaking. In the verse 7, and then the groom will respond in the verse 8. The bride says, "Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions?" And the answer comes back from the groom, "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." I want to speak this morning on the subject, fellowship with Christ. Fellowship with Christ. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence. Ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee this morning that each one that is saved can say with the hymn that we've just sang together, "Dear Savior, Thou art mine." Oh, what a blessing it is to be saved. What a blessing it is to be united with Christ. And Father, we pray for each one that is before us. If there be one that is still outside of Christ, that has never experienced that union with Him, has never experienced that divine fellowship, O God, that today that Thou will draw them unto Thyself. Father, we come now with Thy word open before us. We pray as we continue in our studies together that Thou will come and that Thou will speak. That Thou will minister, O God, to all of our hearts. We pray that Thou will touch, O God, the preacher. Touch the mind, touch the heart, touch the lips. May everything that be said come from Thee. Pray for the hearer, O God, that Thou wilt settle every mind and every heart. That Thou wilt open every ear. That Thou wilt speak, O God, and minister to each and to every one. Glorify Thy Son above all in our presence today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wonder this morning, each one that is saved, what is your greatest expectation or excitement for heaven? To some it's the case, maybe, that you're simply looking forward to the beauty and to the majesty of the city. to having that experience of walking through the city that's paved with gold, to having that mansion that's promised to you. Maybe it's a case that you're looking forward to seeing loved ones that have gone on before. Maybe it's a case that you're looking forward to the no mores of heaven, no more sin. Oh, what a blessing that'll be, to know that we'll never sin again. No more tears, no more sickness, no more sorrow. Maybe it's a case that it's all about the physical. You're looking forward, as I said, to the mansions paved, or the city paved with gold, the mansions, the foundations of jewels. It's all about what you're going to see. That happens sometimes with Christians, that you become too caught up in the material things, even of heaven. And sometimes then it creeps into what we say. I myself include myself in this, that whenever you tell boys and girls, sometimes you're telling them the gospel, you're bringing them the story, and you're telling them, oh, you want to get to heaven, surely, because you don't want to go to hell. Heaven's a lovely place, hell's not. And suddenly you make it more about heaven. You want to get to the nice place, you don't want to go to the bad place. In a great sense, then, we're all missing the point, aren't we? Because the greatest expectation about heaven surely is that you're with Christ. It's not about the mansion, it's not about the city, it's not about the streets, it's not about any of the no more. The greatest joy and expectation for believers is this, and the greatest message that we can tell boys and girls is this: if you're saved, you get to be with Jesus. Never to be separated from Him. To be in His presence forever. To see Him face to face, to see the nail-pierced hands and the nail-pierced feet, to see the wound in the side, and to realize Jesus did it for me. And to see Him forever. You see, salvation isn't simply a change of country, it's a change of company. You might say, but John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. God's promised me a mansion. Unless, of course, you read the NIV, you're only getting a room. But you read verse 3. Because the Lord says, I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God's promise is this: you're coming to be with me. And speaking of death, how did the Apostle Paul describe it? 2 Corinthians 5:8, he says, absent from the body, present where? Heaven? No. Present with the Lord. That was Paul's greatest expectation. I'm going to leave this body. I'm going to leave this wretched frame of mine. I'm going to be with Christ. That's the marriage between the bride and the groom. After all, you have the parallel in earthly marriage between a man and a woman. I trust no one here married because of the house you were going to get. You married because you loved each other. You married because it was a desire. You wanted to live together. You wanted to experience life together. You wanted to go through life with that one by your side. You had that love one for the other. It wasn't a case that, oh, I got married because he promised me a massive house. Or he was a rich man and I knew if I got married to him, I was going to get all of the money. I can guarantee you this, and I thank God for this. My wife never married me for the house. I showed her the house I had. I'd already bought a house before I ever got married. This little chalet bungalow. If we were still there today, the little box room Reuben would have been standing. His bed would have been from one end to the other. It would have been touching the two walls. Alex didn't marry me for a house and certainly didn't marry me for money. But we all married, I trust we all married for love. We married because the desire was to be together. That's the same in spiritual terms. The bride and the groom's greatest expectation is not where you live or what you have, it's who you're with. And really, in these two verses this morning, that's what we see. The desire between the bride and the groom to be together. It's what I want to leave with you just under two very simple headings this morning. I want you to see firstly the verse number 7, the desire that's expressed. The desire that's expressed. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. You know, the order is always important in Scripture. In other words, what I'm saying there is what comes first and what follows afterwards. Because we've already looked in these verses, and it was mentioned even last week, because it speaks in the verse 4 of how the king has brought me into his chambers. And so here you have the Shulamite bride. You have that lady that's been brought from the vineyards of Shunem. And she's already been brought into the king's house. She's already saw the finery of the king's mansion and the king's palace. She's already been brought out of the vineyards and been brought in and clothed in the finest of clothing. Those old rags that she wore at the vineyard, they've been set to the side. She's already had the costly apparel put upon her body. She's already been washed in all of the fragrances that are there in the palace for the bride to have. She's already been adorned in all of those things. And she's looking round, and all of the finery, the marble, the silk tapestry as it hangs, and all of the banquets, all of the food, everything is there. But something's missing. Where's my groom? The contentment's not found in wearing the costly apparel or enjoying the comforts of a palace. The contentment for the bride is this: I want my groom. I want the one whom my soul loveth. And so she looks around and she longs for her groom. She cries out in the verse 7, tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth. May you see the depth of the love. I don't know if anyone refers to their other half by that. I don't know too many wives that whenever the dinner's made, they'll call down, O thou whom my soul loveth, your dinner's ready. Or husbands, when you make the supper in the evening time and you call to your wife and say, O thou whom my soul loveth, come and get your tea and your toast. I doubt it happens. And yet here was the bride, and she's crying out, O thou whom my soul loveth, right from the depths of her heart and from her very soul and all of her being, she longs for her groom. She's looked around the palace. She's looked around that setting. She's already said in the verse number 5, I am black but comely. In other words, I am just so not from here. This isn't me, but yet I'm still beautiful. I shouldn't be here, but yet I have the opportunity to be here because of the groom. But she's looked around and she says, no, I need my groom. See, it's the presence of the groom she desires. So she asks the question, where are you? I need to be with you. I need to see you. I need to be in your presence. I wonder how many Christians today are willing to live a life without the presence of Christ. Many get caught up in life. Maybe the busyness of life, maybe the challenges of life, maybe even the changes in life. And it just swamps your mind. It just overtakes all, and all that you're concerned about and all that you're focused upon and everything upon your mind and your heart is just what's going on in life. Here was a bride that had been brought, as I said, from the vineyards of Shunem, and she's been brought in. The greatest change in her life ever has taken place. She's come away from her family, there in the vineyards at Shunem still, there in that little village. She's been brought into the palace. Everything in her life has changed, and yet her desire is this, where's my groom? How many Christians there are that go through life and they never realize God's presence isn't with them, and they never look for it. They just get so caught up with the job. So caught up with what's going on. forget all about Christ. Not the bride. She says, where thou feedest. In other words, where are you? Wasn't that the same with Moses? Moses was promised a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses is promised a land that he's going to overtake the enemy, and there's going to be victory over the enemy, and they're going to have that land for themselves. And yet, what did Moses say? Exodus 33:15, if thy presence go not with me, carry me up not hence. In other words, Lord, if you're not with me, I don't want to go. Doesn't matter if the land flows with milk and honey. It doesn't matter if the great those great clusters of grapes are there and they're carrying them by their twos because of the blessing and all of the nuts and all of the almonds and all of that produce that's there. It doesn't matter what the land gives us, Lord, if you're not with us, we don't want to go. Lord, it's you I want. It's you I need. What did the psalmist say? Psalm 16:11, and thy presence is fullness of joy. Child of God, what is your desire? What's your heart's desire today? Is it for Christ? Are you longing to be with him? Are you longing to know his presence? Is that your desire as you came to the house of God today, as you came in through the doors, as you sat down? Maybe you prayed in the pew as you sat down, or maybe it was the case you were up in the upper room. How many prayed and said, Lord, I want you to be with me. I want to know that you're here. I don't want to simply come and sing hymns and bow my head in prayer and read the Bible and hear a sermon. Lord, it's not about that. Lord, I want to worship you and I want to know you're here. Bride here, she likens her groom to the shepherd. A shepherd who's caring for his flock. She says, tell me, thou, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. She knows her groom's one who watches over his sheep. Who feeds them, who nurtures them, who is with them. That's a wonderful reminder of that great characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the chief shepherd, the one who is a good shepherd, the one who knows his sheep, the one who is known by his sheep, John 10:14 tells us. There is that illustration there that the bride can see. She knows her groom is one who cares for his sheep. And she knows just how good he is in terms of how sacrificial he is. He gives of his time. He gives of his efforts. He gives of his all to make sure that those sheep are well fed. There's a time of the sitting down. There's a time of the feeding. And that love and compassion that he has towards the sheep, that draws her even closer to him. Because she knows if he cares that much for his sheep, he's going to care that much for me. That characteristic of loving care towards even the animals is something that draws her ever closer, and that desire is there upon her heart. I want to be with the shepherd. Why? He even cares for his sheep. You think of those words over in Matthew 10:29-31. Lord speaking, he says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. You think of all of the care that God gives to the animals of this earth, to the birds of the air, to the cattle and the creeping things in the ground. How much more care is he not going to give to his own people? If God's eyes upon the sparrow and God knows everything that happens with that bird throughout its entire life, where it sits down, what needs it has, and God meets all of the needs of the food, of the rest, of everything, how much more is he not going to give to his own people? The The eye of the Lord's upon his people. His ears open to them. His heart is towards them. And surely, therefore, child of God, our desire ought to be this: Christ. I want Christ. I want to know him. And I want to know that he's with me. I want to know his presence. I want to know that presence of God. That Spirit of God upon me that just settles and calms and gives that peace that passes understanding. That presence of God that just encourages and lifts me up in those times when the world would seek to drag me down. The bride here, she says, "Tell me, O thou whom thou my soul loveth, where thou feedest." Where are you? I want to be with you. The desire that's expressed. Secondly and finally, I want you to see the directions that are explained. The verse 8. "If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents." You know, the more that we consider this bride and see her as a perfect picture of the church of Christ, the more that we truly do see ourselves. As you go through this entire Song of Songs, as we go through chapter by chapter, the bride will constantly be up and down in her emotions. She constantly goes from hot to cold in terms of her desire for the groom. And that's the reality of every believer. There are times we're on fire for God. There are times whenever you can't keep us away from the meetings. There's times that we will witness to you, every single person we come into contact with. And there's that desire just to speak of Christ, to pray to Christ, to praise Christ. And we're doing everything we can. And then there's other times you couldn't even get us up off the sofa. And you couldn't drag us to a meeting. And we certainly won't speak a word for Christ. We can be up one moment and we can be so down the next. Here you have the bride. She's confessing her desire to experience the love of the groom. She said in verse 2, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." In other words, I want to experience his love. I want to know that he loves me. I want to have that myself. And in the next moment she's going, "Where is he? I love him so much, but I don't know where he is." So she calls out, "Where are you?" And the groom sends the word of the answer, "Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock." Now there's a lot in this verse. I'm going to do my best to get it all in this morning. But everything in this verse speaks of the visible church of Christ. This building. This people. He begins by showing her where to go. As he says in the verse 8, "Go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock." In other words, you want to find me? You follow where the path's already been walked. You want to be near to me? You come along the path that everyone's already walked. That steps that the flock has already taken, you follow in their footsteps. Don't go another path. Don't go a new path. You follow as it has already been walked. In other words, when it comes to worship, when it comes to how to worship, you stick to the old paths. You stick to the ways that have been tried and tested over many generations. You stick to the reverent worship. You stick to the centrality of gospel preaching. You stick to the Christ-centered preaching. You stick to the place that gives observance to the Lord's Supper. You stick to the place that gives observance to the sacrament of baptism. You stick to that which has been proved over many, many years. And you don't leave it. You follow the path that's already been walked. You follow the path that's already been proved that God's presence comes into that building and into that setting. You follow the path that's already been proved that God blesses it. You want to experience the Lord's presence to the fullest extent possible. We need to be doing what's always been done. That's why I believe the Lord had us to study the book of Acts. To see the pattern of the New Testament church. Because in reality, what's found in the book of Acts should be what's seen today. Now, yes, we're in a different country. There's different cultures. There's different citizens. There's different kinds of people. But the uniformity of the worship ought to be the same. The church ought to still be sending out missionaries and preaching the gospel and observing the Lord's table and having the times of fellowship and the coming together and being together around the things of God. Why? Because that's what's always been done. It's never changed. Young people, let me encourage you. I was young once. It's not too long ago. I grew up in a church. Many of my teenage years, I was bored. And I couldn't wait to get away. And I was sitting under my father too. And I thought to myself, the way that we worship is boring. Singing hymns and it's so old-fashioned, it's out of date. There are many young people now today, and what are they looking for? They're looking for the places of entertainment for church. They'll go to the place, oh, it's a great time. We had the bands in the corner, the drum kits in the corner, the guitars, the praise bands up on the stage, and it's just a wonderful time, and we're all enjoying this. And it made me feel good. That's not the proven way. And I say it, young people, whenever you have the opportunity, when you're old enough to drive and you're making your own way in life, stick to the old paths. I thank God I never went away. Much as I grew cold and I had no desire for it, I thank God He kept me. If we're bringing the world into the church to draw the crowd, it means Christ is outside. And He's looking in. Stand at the door knocking. Can I come into my church? You want to know how to worship? You want to know where to worship? You read the book of Acts. You read church history. You read biographies and autobiographies of ministers, of missionaries, of individual Christians that have went through this before time and again. Those that experienced the cold times in terms of when the tide was out and the numbers were low, and yet they persevered and God blessed. You look at the times of revival. How did God bless and why did God bless the revival? Because the people were in tune with God. They weren't bringing the things of the world, and that's not how we get the revival. Revival comes whenever we get the way that God wants us to be. We worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We walk the path that's always been walked. He showed them where to go. Secondly, then, He shows them who to be with. Because He says in the verse, He says, go thy way by the footsteps of the flock. The footsteps of the flock. A Christian is to be amongst God's people. You're to be with the flock of God. To worship together, to fellowship together, to pray together, to weep together, to laugh together. The children of God are to be together. Why would a Christian choose to sit at home when they can be with God's people? Why would anyone choose to sit at home if you're fit and able to be here amongst God's people? To gather with the fellow priests and kings in Christ. To rejoice in the Lord. You want to be built up. You want to be encouraged. You want to experience all that the Christian life has to experience. You'll find it when you fellowship and come together. You need to be with the people of God. The very salt of the earth. Believers isolate themselves, grow cold and indifferent. We're told, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock. Don't go away from the flock, go with the flock. Be amongst the flock. Follow after them in their footsteps, not some new path, keep to the old path. Follow the flock and be with them. And he shows her where he is. At the end of verse 8, he says, feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. The tents here that are spoken of are not the tents that are referred to in verse 5. It's a completely different word. Verse 5 is the tents of Kedar. That's the dwelling place. That's their home, their living place. The tents here, the shepherd's tents, are speaking of the tabernacle. Speaking about the place of worship. So the groom tells her, he says, feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. In other words, the place, the tabernacle, the meeting place of God's people. That's where you go. It's not just any house of God. Some believe you can go anywhere on a Sunday. The shepherd here that's spoken of is the under-shepherd. In other words, the preachers of the gospel. You should never be in a church on a Sunday that doesn't preach the gospel. You're saved. You're to gather. Yes, there are times when we're away, maybe on holiday or whatever the case may be, but you're to be in a place that preaches the gospel. The under-shepherds here that are mentioned are those that are saved. Jeremiah 3 and 15, it says, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. Mentions here in this verse of feeding the kids. The kids it's speaking of, it's not your children, it's baby goats. Scripture refers to the sheep and the goats. In other words, you bring the unsaved to the place where the under-shepherd preaches the gospel. That's what is being told here of the bride. You bring those that are still outside of Christ. You bring them to a place that preaches the gospel. Whether they be children or whether they're even adults and they're growing up, you have that desire. You're bringing them to the shepherd's tents. You're bringing them to the tabernacle, the place where they can hear and be fed. After all, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we bring them with us. We bring them to the presence of Christ. The bride sought her groom. And he came. He showed her where he was. The bride cried, I want you. Where are you? He says, you follow the path. You follow the path that's already been walked. You come to the place where they're all gathered together. You'll find me there. Do you long for the presence of the bridegroom? Are you seeking him today? Have you that desire for tonight to be in His presence again? Have you that desire permanently? Lord, I want to know Your presence every day. I want to be near You. I want to know Your voice. I want to hear Your voice. It's not enough just to know heaven. To know You have a home. It's Christ. To be with Jesus. To be as near to Him as it's possible to be. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's pray together as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee. We thank Thee, O God, for Thy precious word afresh to our hearts this morning. We thank Thee for the love, even that Thou didst give the bride for the groom, and the grace that the groom even showed to the bride. Father, we pray for that love to be evident in all of us. Give us a desire to be with Jesus. Give us a desire to know His presence. O Lord, that Thou wilt enable us to keep our eyes fixed upon Christ. Lord, write Thy word upon our hearts. Take us now to our homes in safety. Bring us again this evening, I pray Thee. In Jesus' name, amen.